Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, you can listen to us live anywhere you are in the world just by going to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live, and like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. Well, folks, listen, I got to tell you real quickly, too, about my friends at etaxbreaks.com. Etaxbreaks, man, what a cool job it would be just to tell somebody, I'm here to find you money. Just here to find you money. That's what I do. I just find you money. And that's what eTaxBreaks does. They literally have 23 years of experience. I know these folks personally. And they go at it. There's like over 3,000 programs across the nation that pay out tax credits, tax incentives, grants, all those kinds of things to companies that just do certain things that those companies may just figured were common sense. Like, who did you hire? Was it a veteran? Some other category that qualifies? Where did you place your business geographically? Did you survive a pandemic, the pandemic, or did you survive a natural disaster? All I'm saying is all these things and more qualify you for monies you didn't know were out there. And they don't get paid unless they find you money. How cool is that? So it's no risk, and they only get paid if they find you money. And in July alone, they found over $7 million for their clients. They've got a special website just for Right Side listeners. Go check it out. etaxbreaks.com/rightside. etaxbreaks.com/rightside. All right, listen, I'm moving to the third part of the Triple Dipper. OSHA Shmosha, that's what I'm calling this part of the Triple Dipper. Did you know, by the way, that not every state is an OSHA state? Oh, really? How does this work? Well, I'm going to unpack that for you here in just a minute, but let me just tell you this. Before I do, I got to hit this article, though, first from Politico. Politico is reporting right now that there are companies all over the nation telling the Biden administration they're not going to make the deadlines. They're just not. This story came out last week. They're saying they're not going to make the deadlines. We've got members of the aerospace, the distribution, the defense, the trucking sectors. They're all warning the Biden administration they're not going to be able to meet the vaccine deadline. What do you want us to do? Are you literally going to tell us to cripple the economy? Is that what you're saying? So objections among the vendors are literally saying that if it means we have to sever our federal contracts, we'll just do it. And that's what's happening. Now, by the way, I do know one particular company in this state right now that had an opportunity for a $20 million contract. This could have been something that would have benefited them greatly, but it involved a federal connection, and they weren't going that route because they're not going to subject their employees to that federal contractor mandate. Turned down a $20 million contract in order to avoid having to deal with this egregious federal overreach. So here's the thing. The Politico was talking about the fact in an interview recently, the American Trucking Association's executive vice president, a guy named Bill Sullivan, he told Politico that some companies are simply deciding the cost of the mandate is not worth a government check. Sullivan says he has raised concerns to the White House, the Office of Management Budget, and other executive branch officials. He noted that if companies begin dropping their contracts, it's going to be harder to get food to the troops, transport fuel from military vehicles, or even deploy the National Guard. That sounds funny. He's like, deploy the National Guard? What do you mean? Well, listen, when military units deploy, you don't run tanks right down the interstate. First of all, it's cost prohibitive just on the gas alone. But secondly, you either railhead them or you truck them on flatbeds. Whole units will move to a deployment site by means of civilian contract vehicles, trains, planes, all of it. And so it's not always a military vehicle owned by the government that transports troops. A lot of times it's cheaper to contract that out. I mean, literally, when I flew back and forth to... So when I flew to Afghanistan, I was on mil aircraft. When I flew to Iraq, I was on a civilian aircraft. Because it was cheaper for them, and because of availability, they just contracted out. Folks, I'm telling you, this is going to be crippling. All right, Sullivan's remarks are among the sharpest warning yet from the business community, Politico says. And private employees, however, it says, can opt out by submitting to testing. It just reminds you of that in the Politico article. Private employees, they can opt out. Just submit to testing. How do you pay for testing, knuckleheads at Politico? How do you pay for that? Well, Tony Pugh was on the show a little while ago, right? Tony said that if they move forward with this, he's got roughly 50% of his workforce that he believes is vaccinated. That's his best guess right now, is that roughly 50% of his almost 300 employees are vaccinated. He said if that's the case, when he has checked the cost of the testing kits, not only that, but then the administration of someone who would have to go through the process of conducting the test, and because he has chosen not to defer the cost onto his employees, although some companies are, and insurance, by the way, is not going to pay for it. They're not. So it's going to cost him, he reckons right now, upwards of $30,000 a month for a company with less than 300 employees to maintain the testing requirements under this OSHA mandate. Can you imagine that? Upwards of $30,000 a month just to maintain this because he's not going to be the government's vaccine police. Well, we're seeing that all across industries. It's not just one industry, it's a lot of them saying they can't meet the December deadlines. So what's OSHA going to do? Well, the interesting dynamic here is OSHA, federal OSHA, is not in every state. I did not know this. This was news to moi. I spent 8 years in state government, and I had no idea that some states are OSHA states and some states are not. How does this work, Phil? What do you possibly mean? Well, first of all, here's the deal. There are a number of states that are what we call state OSHA states. In other words, they are states that have their own version of OSHA, and they have to, if they choose to, they can either adopt federal regulations and then administer them themselves, or they can adopt a standard that is considered at or better than the federal plan. At or better. At or better would then be in the eyes of the state officials. Interesting. Article on Bloomberg I'm looking at right now. Think about this for a moment. What happens if OSHA can't get its policies enforced because there are 26 states, over half the nation, does not have federal OSHA requirements? They have to adopt it at the state level. Interesting. How's this going to work, OSHA, when you come in with these egregious policies? Now, by the way, those of y'all who are listening, you may be wondering right now, Alabama is a federal OSHA state. Yay, yay, we're federal OSHA. So there's our position. But you got 26 states right now that are not. 26 states would have to actually state level adopt the COVID-19 standards of the emergency temporary standard being put out by OSHA right now in this vaccine mandate. And of those 26 states, multiple of them have Republican attorney generals who have already vowed to sue on this very issue. Bam. You got others right now that are looking at the fact that they intend to fight back. Where was the part of the article? Maybe this other one right here. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you this. Before I get to the break, I want to tell you this. So here we are looking at the map, right? And I've got one of these articles does have a map in here on how do you determine jurisdiction. And I believe that Florida and Alabama are both federal OSHA states. Okay. That means that the OSHA mandates from the federal government are just, bam, in place. No adoption necessary. Except that Florida figured this out. Article here on townhall.com. Townhall.com is reporting as of today, 6 a.m. this morning when I pulled the article, that Florida Republicans have a message for OSHA. They want a divorce. So the Florida GOP is trying to sever ties with federal OSHA and move to be a state OSHA state, and they would be allowed to enforce their own version of a plan. Love this. Republican lawmakers in Florida are proposing to pull out of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration in order to sidestep the Biden administration's new vaccine mandate. Wow, that's creative. In response, Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis announced the state would sue the Biden administration over the mandate, and the state GOP lawmakers immediately began accusing Biden of overreach. Yes, they did. All right, it goes on to say, state lawmakers in Tallahassee have been called back to special session, and I believe it's next week, called by DeSantis to come into special session for the purpose of outlawing vaccine mandates. I love that. Unlike Governor Ivey here, who did not even want to touch this with a 10-foot pole and then had to sign the bills even because the legislature did something outside of her call, DeSantis is saying, hey, fellas, I need you guys to do this. and they're coming in to do it. And part of what they're looking at right now is they're considering whether withdrawing from OSHA is feasible and they can sidestep these regulations. Well, let's head to a short break, Copper. When we get back, I'm going to tell you more about this OSHA thing because this is super interesting. Did you know that was possible? I didn't. I had never heard this. I thought OSHA was everywhere like the IRS. No. OSHA is only in half the states on the federal level. The rest of those states were wise enough to keep the federal government at bay and have their own version. And they, some of them, are fighting back. 4:17 p.m., Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, this very cool thing during the break, I was actually emailing with Matt Clark at the Center for Law and Liberty. We had a listener to the show, and it was, you know, what a blessing. This is the kind of thing where you know the show is doing something right. All right, so I have a listener to the show. Her name is Stephanie. I'll just leave it at that. And she's talking about the fact that her husband is a healthcare worker, and he's a contractor at a hospital in North Alabama. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to say which one. You know, but Stephanie's basically saying she was listening to the show, and she understands that the new state laws that were just passed require there to be a form to fill out for either a medical or religious exemption. And she wants to know, would that count for healthcare workers too? So Matt Clark jumped in the email string because he and I were both copied on it. Both of us, we jibe. Our quick legal view of that is that yes, the law does seem to imply that there's no exception to a certain type of industry. If you are an employer, if you're an employee in the state of Alabama of an employer, then this would apply to you. And this forum should be available. So I believe Matt's going to reach out to Stephanie. Stephanie, if you're listening, thanks so much for listening and for reaching out and for giving us an opportunity to reply. That's how I know that we are resonating. And by the way, that's how I know that the synergy is there right now. I mean, when I'm able to see stories that we broke yesterday come out on 1819 and AL.com and others today, that's cool. And when I'm also seeing listeners who are emailing and saying, man, what do I do about this thing? I heard it on the show. And I'm able to get into an email real quick during a break with Matt Clark at the Center for Law and Liberty, and he and I both come to a quick decision that, yeah, we do believe it says yada, yada, yada. And now I think he's going to give her a call and talk to her about it. That's cool. That is synergy. And, folks, that's what we got to do. We got to stay informed with each other. We got to stay in tune. We got to make sure that we're hitting these marks along the way. We ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask the questions, not just of us, but ask the questions of the employers. There are some employers out there that are just extremely punitive right now. And there are others, though, that are like Tony Pugh with FabArc Steel Fabricators that came on the show earlier, who have chosen to do all they can to protect their employees from the federal government's overreach. Well, listen, speaking of overreach, so I'm talking about this OSHA thing, right? This is something I did not know was out there. But here it is. And I'm looking at right now, basically, OSHA is threatening some states because the states have a right to determine whether or not they will participate if they are not already what's called a federal OSHA state. So like I said, 26 states right now have their own OSHA-style programs. A lot of them, actually just adopt what OSHA federal is saying. But in some states, they do it like even a hybrid, like Tennessee, just north of our borders here, says that they have a state OSHA program over general industry and construction and that kind of thing. But like maritime, they cede that over to the federal government. So they do a hybrid. But then there's a bunch of other states that do it strictly on their own. And right now, separate article that I'm looking at right here, where'd this one come from? This wasn't Bloomberg. I forgot where this is from now. Anyway, saying that many states are choosing not to move forward and adopt these plans, which is very cool. And OSHA Federal is now planning to revoke their status if they don't. For instance, South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster has indicated that South Carolina intends to fight back. He wrote it on his social media. He said this is a preemptive strike by the federal government. And Governor McMaster has directed his office is called the Labor Licensing and Regulation Department. He's directed that director to begin immediate preparations for what he calls a vigorous and lengthy legal fight. OSHA has also announced plans to revoke approval of the state plans in Arizona and South Carolina and Utah because they've not adopted parts of what OSHA is putting out. Well, right now, I'm telling you, federalism, folks, federalism. Do the states have certain rights? Well, right now, if there's ever been a battleground on that issue outside of the actual Civil War from the 1800s, this is it. We are seeing on an epic scale right now that states are saying, federal government, you're going way too far. And our constitutional rights are being infringed upon. And we have a right to a say in this under the 10th Amendment to the Constitution. And I'm just telling you, you keep watching. All right, folks, we're going to come back in a minute. Open up the phone line. You want to talk? Call on in, 866-494-9866. 866-494-9866. Let me hear from you for a little while. Let's see what you got to say about all this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.